This is the version corresponding to the exterior of the Tower of Castro de Ouro. This location is associated with key moments in the lives of Marshal Pardo de Zela and his wife Isabel de Castro. Controversial historical characters, shrouded in popular myths and legends, who lived through the Irmandiña Wars, the battles for the succession to the throne of Castile, and the conflicts between the Galician nobility, the church, and royal power in the 15th century. We are accompanied on our tour back in time to that age by the voices of the Marshal and Isabel. In order to enjoy the tour, it's important to follow these instructions. Once the recording has begun, do not stop it until the end. Listen carefully to the indications you're given to follow the route correctly. Only stop when expressly asked to do so in the recording, and above all, walk slowly but steadily. To start, please stand on the small pavement near the foot of the stairs, just in front of the entrance to the tower. Ready? Good. Let's start.
The tower you see before you is all that is left of Castro de Ouro Castle. If you look around, you can still make out the remains of the fortress, the half-demolished walls, the remains of a cemetery, which used to be the wall, the church. In short, a castle that saw good times, but whose ruin only served now to remind me of my own decline. And who am I? My name is Pedro Pardo de Zela, known to all and sundry as the Marshal. I lived in the 15th century. My life was shorter than I would have wished. However, my story remains immortal. And why me? Because as a prisoner of the myth that confuses history and legend, I wander these lands in the hope that one day I will be remembered for who I truly was and that my soul can rest in peace. Having said this, do not expect from me a historical whitewashing that establishes the dividing line between the documented facts and the tales spun by people over the centuries. If legend has it that my demise came about one 17th December, of what use is it here to say that it was in fact the 3rd of October? For this reason, I feel free to say that the only thing there is no doubt about is that the Catholic monarch Isabella allowed me to be executed, and that all of the other details can be filled in by the protectors of history.
I, Isabel de Castro, can testify to what my husband said, because I also remain a prisoner of legend. Worse in my case, because legend has only served to reconstruct my life on the basis of his. Being closer to the truth that I belong to a family originally from Viveiro, I was made out to be the daughter of the Count of Lemos. And not only was I made out to be a niece of Pedro Enriquez, Bishop of Mondoñedo, but also the beneficiary of an episcopal dowry in which this very castle of Castro de Ouro was included as an asset.
The actual date of our wedding remains a mystery, but they pretend to know the exact content of your dowry. God forbid that the castle of Castro de Ouro were mine, as some have alleged, because I'll have never allowed it to be the simple retreat it indeed became under the bishops of Mondoñedo for centuries. A sad demise for a castle keep such as this, the hilltop once ennobled by its presence.
The fact it has stood here for almost 800 years is a measure of history, not legend. Although thinking back to those times, it does not seem like so many years. It's impossible for me not to be reminded of your execution in the square of Mondoñedo and the subsequent disputes with the bishopric, which took what was ours as its own and might well have been one of the causes of your death.
I have no answer for that. Nobody chooses to be a martyr or a hero.
To understand our history, we need to recall those far-off times, when all of this used to form a part of the castle of Castrodouro, and people throughout the entire area followed what happened here intently. Leaving the tower behind, look across to the Church of San Salvador. We are going to walk to the right and around the outside of the chapel. Let's go.
Those were turbulent times. The 60s, 70s, and 80s of the 15th century. The Great Irmandiña War, the War of Succession. Isabella and Ferdinand trying to take control of Galicia.
And we were always in the middle of everything.
Taking sides, Isabel. What is life if you don't pick a side?
It's true that it was difficult not to take sides in such turbulent times, when the feisty nobility violently abused the bourgeoisie and the peasants. Add to that, the failed harvests and the plague, and you have the perfect circumstances for the eruption of the Great Irmandiña War.
It was the year 1467, and the time had come, as the saying went, for the sparrows to chase away the falcons. But the offensive only lasted for 2 years, and the end of the war also marked the end of our hopes for change.
Our? Since when were the Irmandiños on our side, or you on theirs? Let me remind you that in 67, they destroyed Afrouseira Castle.
If they had been my enemies, they would not have let me go free, as some say they did. But stop for a moment. I'm going to tell you how easy it is to create false realities. You know that this church was the castle of Castrodouro's chapel. You might recognize the half relief on the only door on this side of the building, representing Jesus and the two thieves crucified on the Calvary. But the side portico and sacristy that we saw when we left the tower, and the windows, I remember nothing of those. In fact, I recognize almost nothing of what I see before me, because the chapel was renovated time and again over the following centuries, although history books would have you to believe it's from the 15th century. So, is it history itself a lie?
We had better continue walking around the church, continuing in the same direction as before. So should I just accept the advice you gave the Count when you told him how he could recover all the assets that had been seized? Lore hung all the vessels from the oak trees.
Ah, yes. Yet another episode in my life recreated by a legend. You know, Isabel, that many are those who maintain that my only war was to fight for Galicia, freeing it from Castile and its king and queen, albeit looking towards Portugal and whoever else relied on her for support.
You, a defender of Juana la Beltraneja? The Queen of Castile might not have been to your liking, but you fought for her and for Ferdinand by laying siege to Pedro Madruga. Or is that not being on the side of the Catholic monarchs? Wait, don't answer that yet. We are going to go straight ahead, where you can see the stone cross and pass between the tower wall and the remains of the castle wall. We will continue on towards that low wall you can see at the end, on the corner. You can answer now, Pedro.
I took part in the siege, but that does not mean that Ferdinand of Aragon considered me a friend.
Some of the enemies of the Catholic monarchs were later pardoned.
I wasn't one of them. Their hatred of me was laid bare when the envoy they sent to pacify Galicia, Fernando de Acuña, ordered his most resolute captain to detain me.
You mean Luis Mudarra?
Aye, the very one. the one who laid siege to the castle of Afroseira. We must have reached our destination by now. Let's stop for a moment and look to our right. If you look up slightly and across to the horizon, you can see two peaks. Look carefully at the highest, craziest one. On that majestic peak stood Afroseira Castle. Afroseira. Novel walls that were to prove my final refuge. My confrontations with the crown led me there. Inside, I resisted the violence of the envy shown to me by those who called themselves gentlemen, but could not bear it that someone like me collected so many taxes. Legend has it that the siege lasted 2 years and 8 months, and that 300 men were under the command of the Dutch captain Luis Mudarra. And it is said that betrayal, only betrayal, made the storming of the fortress possible. Although maybe it was because I had reached an agreement to capitulate and hand the fortress over. Why not? The only reason to believe that such a betrayal existed lay in a document titled Record of the Document of Enforcement. What is true is that the traitor who supposedly spurned my trust and friendship to sell me out to Mudarra had to be one of those identified in the record. The centuries will never bury the memory of that betrayal.
Listen!
Quiet!
Listen!
Didn't you hear it?
No, Trey.
Quiet! You be quiet, Elvira de Muras. We'll be quiet when we switch.
Well, don't be quiet then, but at least listen to me.
All right, speak up then. What is it you have to say, Cofano de Valadouro?
As you all know, by taking advantage of Mudarra's troops temporarily withdrawing in order to rest, our Marshal Don Pedro secretly left to visit the castle of Castro Douro. You know that, don't you?
Yes, we know that. We all know that, of course we do.
Well, Captain Luis Mudarra did too.
How he knew or didn't know is not what brought us here. We are here because the captain, taking advantage of the marshal's absence, talked to Cofano to make a proposal.
The proposal is to surrender the castle. Listen to me. You know as well as I do that we are running out of strength. How much longer do you think we can last? The captain promised us a pardon if we accept his proposal.
A pardon for all of us? For all those who accept the deal. So, tell us what it was you agreed with Mudarra.
We opened the doors of the castle and let him and his men enter unopposed. In that way, they'll know that we support the deal and Captain Luis Mudarra will be forced to honor his promise of a pardon. So, do we all agree? You, Fernán García Tafornelos, are you with us? And you, Pedro López? Roy de Mera, Marcos da Canada, Pero de Merlo.
None of them knew me at all. Did they expect me to come back to the Frozeira without taking any precautions? In spite of the deception, it was not on this occasion that they detained me. I managed to avoid being captured that time.
But it wasn't to last for long.
You are right, Isabel. When someone offers to buy a soul, there is always someone willing to sell there.
I know only too well who you are talking about. But wait a moment. Now that we are near his house, we should take a better look. We have to double back, leaving the remains of the wall to our left, and pass by those strange tombs. Then we'll stop by the wall just after. Let's go. Let's keep walking. Let's find the house where legend has it you were arrested.
Alfonso Yáñez's house.
Alfonso's. You know opinion is divided on that one.
Opinions and more. Remember that there were those who say I was Fonsa's lover, if Fonsa was a woman.
What does it matter if it was a he or a she?
But there was an Alfonso Yáñez. My friend, I trusted you.
And you had to go and trust someone who was the secretary of the Bishop of Mondoñedo, no less.
Even so. I could have never have imagined Alfonso would sell me out.
If you've reached the wall, look across towards the valley, and you will see a set of houses just a stone's throw from where we are now. In the middle of these houses is a building behind what nowadays looks like a playing field, with a chapel on the left and a house on the right. That must be the house where you're said to have been arrested.
Alfonso!
What are you doing, Pedro? Are you mad? Do you want everyone to know that you are here in my house?
If you let me in, I will. Not before.
Come in, quickly.
I will never live long enough to show my gratitude for what you have done for me.
Less of the gratitude, for our lives may not be that long.
Certainly not mine, anyway. See? Your silence proves me right.
Pedro.
Don't make excuses. We both know the way things are. And if I came here today in response to your message, it's because only here in your house do I feel safe.
Unfortunately, you are safe nowhere now.
I am here. Who would suspect me of hiding in the bishop's secretary's house?
Nobody is beyond suspicion. Not even me.
I understand. But before I go, why did you tell me to come?
Pedro, you know that I have always been a good friend.
I know.
And you know that I would never do anything to put you in harm's way.
Alfonso, I know that. Of course I do. What I don't know is why you are telling me all this now.
You can't run from what you are, Pedro. And I'm the bishop's chaplain.
What are you trying to say, Alfonso? I thought that our friendship came before all else. Please tell me you are not saying what I think you are saying.
Pedro, forgive me.
Pedro Pardo de Cela, entrégate a autoridades.
Alfonso, why?
Because power has no obstacle when it comes to buying affections. And affections can be won over when power comes calling.
You are right, Isabel. When you warned me of the danger embodied by certain groups of power in the bishopric of Mondoñedo, I underestimated their capacity for deceit and trusted my own power too much. I could have never imagined the lengths to which they would go to finish me off. You know only too well that when I was held captive in Mondoñedo, I was obliged to part with everything, Isabel.
Mondoñedo isn't that far away. If you look up and across to the right, if it weren't for those hills, we could almost see it. It's very near on the other side.
Close by, there, on the other side of the hills, in Mondoñedo, I was sentenced to death. I held on to the hope that you'd come back with a pardon. I never lost hope that the queen would listen to your plea and spare me from death, if not from life. You almost made it to the gates.
If I had got as far as the bridge, so close to Mondoñedo, neither 200 cannons could have stopped me.
Had been too late for some time. Ever since the monarch's envoys became more dangerous than the brotherhoods of the vassals themselves, as was proven by the decision to behead me. My death only made it even clearer that things were serious. The battles were no longer patriotic uprisings, because the only motherland we knew was the one bound by our lands, and as far as the vassals were concerned, the one that bound their very lives. Our disappearance was the only thing that mattered. I am consoled by the knowledge that, in some way, my death was key. And along with me, the Middle Ages came to an end, giving rise to the modern age.
You were always your best defender. Unfortunately, you didn't defend your assets as well. It took to your daughter Beatriz 11 years to regain the jurisdiction of Carballo de Galdo. You could have been proud, as it was also sought after by the executor Rivadeneira. And perhaps the impact of such a victory was what tilted memory in your favor.
Favor or against, as history or myth, told or observed, may memory always endure. And if it's not to be the memory of me, then let it be the memory of that moment. Here in the tower of Castro d'Ouro, an inland lighthouse from which all of the lands of Amarinha were made visible. Let's stand in the center and look towards the east with our back to the stairs. The Xistral hills stretch out before us, and if we start to turn around slowly, we can see Sargadelos, then Burela, Barreiros, Lourenza, and lastly, Mondoñedo. That is where I meet my demise, and looking over there now, this is where my story ends.
The characters of the audio guide were played in order of intervention by Iván Marcos, Patricia de Lorenzo, Borja Fernández, Arancha Villar, Mónica García, and Dani Trillo. Editing and audio post-production by Jacobe Martínez Antelo, and documentation and script by Jesús Ron and Manuel Cortés. This guide would not have been possible without the collaboration of Manuel Lorenzo and Carlos González, and the support of Jorge Val and Arancha Incera.